This is Mouth Media Network. Amplify and connect.
Hi, everyone. I'm Harry Slatkin. I own a home fragrance brand and bath and body brand called Homeworks and Scentworks. I started my company 28 years ago, but I guess we'll go into that a little bit later. And I just want to tell you that for me, beauty is really everywhere. I actually see beauty in everything. I believe there's beauty in even what people might call ugly. I think it's just the personal interpretation. So for me, obviously scent is my keenest sense, and I smell, that's my beauty where I go first. But I enjoy looking at everything, and I always see the good in it. So that's my beauty.
According to the New York Times, Harry Slatkin is the king of home fragrance. Throughout his career, Harry has created candles for Martha Stewart, Oprah Winfrey, and Madonna. And Princess Diana even used to sneak his candles into the Kensington Palace. Can you imagine that? He single-handedly created the home fragrance category and continues to develop candle brands for major retailers, including QVC, Amazon, Ulta, and Kohl's. In addition, Harry established home fragrance collections for over 100 brands, including Ralph Lauren, Tory Burch, Vera Wang, and Christian Dior, just to name a few. Coming up, you'll hear from Harry on why fragrance really matters, especially now. How creating a candle for Elton John helped raise millions of dollars for charity, and why he calls candles the marijuana of today.
From New York City, you're listening to Beauty is Your Business, covering the intersection of innovation and business in the beauty industry.
Thank you so much for joining us, Harry, on this episode of Beauty is Your Business. This is Karen Moon, and I'm here with my co-host, Abby Wallace. So, Harry, you are, you know, coined the king of fragrance and developing the home fragrance category. Like, what's changed in the industry, and how has that evolved from when you started to now?
Sure. And just to be specific on my royal title, the king of home fragrance, not the king of fragrance. There's too many people in the fragrance industry. Home fragrance, I own. I'll wear that crown proudly. And it was the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal that cutely gave that to me, and it's stuck ever since. But it's been a wonderful ride. I started this company 28 years ago with my wife. Do you want to hear the story of how we started?
Absolutely.
So 28 years ago, my wife and I were getting married, and we worked on Wall Street. I worked at Bear Stearns, and I was a director, and my wife was at Lehman Brothers, and she was a vice president. And we were bored. And what would happen was I'd go into a room with people that were in the financial world, some important ones, and I was always quiet because I never felt I had the same power or knowledge to talk to them. I did well. I was successful, but not successful emotionally, not successful in my heart. And so my wife and I, when we were getting married, and we both wanted a change, we were thinking of what to do. And my brother, who's an interior designer, when he was finished with a client he liked very much, he gave them their own home fragrance to use in the home, sort of the parting gift. But they were sort of well-known ladies, Dita, Bunny, Jessie, Susan, Yasmin, and Georgia. So, for instance, Yasmin was Rita Hayworth's daughter, Princess Yasmin Aga Khan. Susan's husband was then the chairman of Solomon Brothers. Susan Goodfriend. Dita was Dita Blair, wife of the ambassador. And they were sort of well-known ladies. So they got a lot of, social press. People chatting about them. If you opened up Givenchy's book, he'd talk about how Mercedes Bass had given the candle. But they were not for, they were just gifts that he was giving to his clients. But every dinner he went to his right and his left, the woman would say, "I'd love a candle. Can you make my candle?" He'd get phone calls. "Can you make my candle?" So he turned to Laura and I and he said, "If you want the candle business, by all means, take it. I don't want the candle business." And so Laura and I thought about it and we said, you know what? Why not? Now, just to go back so you understand why we said that, the candle business was new to my wife. She did not come from a candle-using family. But I grew up, my father died when I was 13, and I grew up, I was in charge, if my mother was entertaining, I was in charge of the candles. I lit the candles. Back then they were French imports and English ones, because she had little tiny round rings she put on the light bulbs. I put the oil on it, and the heat from the bulbs would make the scent come in the room. I would do all of that. So it had been in my DNA for a long time to use that kind of product. And when we actually said yes to taking the candle, just fortuitous, Rosemary Bravo, who was really most known for becoming the chairwoman of Burberry and turning it around, at that time was leaving iMagnon in San Francisco to become the president of Saks in New York. And a friend of ours, her best friend in San Francisco, Denise Hale, said, you must go, I won't do her Russian accent, but said, you must go see her candle, the candles of the Slatkins. And literally, Rosemary came to us, and we were her first project. And in the back then, you used to go to a department store, and the home fragrance was always on the home floor, which at Saks New York meant the eighth floor, which meant by the time you got there, you either needed oxygen or you forgot what you went there for. So I had been reading all the books on the greats, Helena Rubinstein, Charles Revson, who founded Revlon, Estee Lauder, and I wanted to be that lipstick. I wanted to be an instant purchase, so I wanted to be in cosmetics. So we spoke. Rosemary wasn't ready yet to put it in cosmetics, but she'd put it in the third floor in a big shop. And Women's Wear Daily, which is the trade industry for the whole industry of fashion and beauty, and everyone reads it, wrote a full-page article on us. And the whole fragrance industry back then was in the doldrums, so there was no really excitement. And everyone called us saying, could you do our home fragrance? From Ralph Lauren, Tory Burch, Vera Wang, everyone was calling us, and we did. And that sort of changed home fragrance and what it became today. And now I walk in a room, I don't care if it's the chairman of the largest personal cosmetic company in the world, I hold my own. And that's different than I was when I worked on Wall Street. So I found my skin. I found my happiness.
Amazing. I mean, it's always interesting to hear how, you know, when you're expanding or creating a new category, you know, what's entailed and educating the market. Because today it's easy to look at it, but obviously there's been this evolution. You know, I'm curious, I think what's timely about talking about home fragrance, you know, in general, you know, right now with COVID, what's interesting is a lot of the trends that were happening are accelerating. We're seeing this in all facets. But if we look back even to last year, home fragrance was actually growing, you know, with this idea of self-care. And, you know, I'm curious to get your thoughts. There's been a lot of talk in, you know, recessionary periods like in 08, what happens to consumers and the trend of cocooning and nesting. You know, clearly we're nesting today because we have no choice, but home fragrance can have a really interesting impact on your emotions. Like, I'm curious to know more of your thoughts on, you know, the consumer insight or what you've seen consumers gravitate towards around home fragrance, you know, right now in this time, and how you're navigating your partner.
Karen, if you look at the last time when there was a recession, home fragrance numbers actually grew. When people spend more time at home because they're not using their money to go out to restaurants, etc., you're nesting. And when you're doing that, you really want to have your surroundings be the best you can. So if you look at my candle, on average, $20 for a candle, some are less. And when you look at that, and it's about 50 hours of burning time. So what does that equate to creating a different atmosphere to put you happier? And you know, our keenest sense is our sense of smell. So it goes right to our brain, and it changes our mood, it changes our atmosphere. There is a doctor at Columbia University who won a Nobel Prize for scent for illness. So it's that strong an emotion, it's that strong that can change it. So when people are spending more time at home, it really benefits the home fragrance industry. And so, I mean, I'm sort of very superstitious, so I don't want to say that's going to happen again because I just pulled my ear and knocked on wood. But right now, our online business is pretty off the chart. I did a QVC show yesterday where I video in for an hour. You know, we did pretty amazing. So again, I don't like to, you know, in my religion, we call it a kanahara. I don't want to do that. I just want to be able to, you know, just please, all I do is try and make it better for everybody. You know, everyone, there's no doubt I'm in business. I'm in business, and obviously we're all in business. We want to make money. But I don't do it from that point of view. I've never thought of that side of it ever in my company. I do it really from the passion of it. There's not one product I put on the market that I don't use personally and haven't tested through the entire testing part of the product. If I don't like it, I'll kill it. So I'm doing this for me, and then I'm just happy everyone else likes it.
I love your story. It's such a wonderful story, and it's so nice to hear that you found, you know, basically your home, the place where you're the happiest, and that's something so many people strive for in their lifetime, to find a place and a passion and business where they can thrive and be happy and successful. So bravo to you. That's really awesome to hear. I'm very curious. So that's great that you were on QVC and the business is, you know, doing well during a difficult time. I'm curious to know about the D2C opportunity today, because sometimes with fragrance, home fragrance, we know the vanillas and the rose, we know what those smell like, but are you looking at new ways to be inventive and creative to tell the story, to capture the consumer at home? Because they're not able to go into the store at the moment, and they can't touch and, you know, smell right there. Has that proved challenging to you, or is it not really?
Well, let me tell you a story that actually helped me get to where I am to this point. So I'd say about 15 years ago, I sold our first company, what Laura and I started, that one we left that I just told the story of, which was called Sacking Company, to Bath & Body Works. And at the time, the reason it happened was because they really had a fledgling home fragrance business, and it was not doing anything. And Les Wexner used to sit in the meetings and say to everybody, can we call the Slatkins? Because that's what Abigail, his wife, and that's what we use, and maybe they could help us. So no one ever called me. There were three presidents. No one called me. So one day the phone rings. My office says it's, you know, Les Wexner on the phone. I knew of him, but really didn't understand Bath & Body Works and Victoria's Secret, because I was Bergdorf and Neiman's and Saks and Harrods. I was luxury back then. And so I got on the phone. We spent about 40 minutes talking, and I thought he was coming to talk to me about Victoria's Secret and maybe do a candle, because he was coming. He said, can I come see you? So he came and saw us, spent about 3.5 hours. And then when we sold the company to him, which happened because he flew us to Ohio at the end of dinner, he said, we want to buy your company. The door shut. My wife and I sat in the Hilton Hotel saying, what does that mean when Les Wexner wants to buy your company? But I went with the company. And in going with the company, I got to understand the consumer on a different level now. So I knew the luxury customer. Now I was learning the masstige customer. But when we started to grow the business, I have been fascinated. I started my first company when I was 15. We can get into that later if you want. I won't digress. But I have been watching HSN when Barry Diller started it, and then QVC. I found it fascinating. And one day I was watching, and they had a reindeer on it made out of wood. Oh God, they're going to kill me at QVC, because Mike George prays that I never tell the story. But when you lifted its tail, it pooped peanut M&Ms. And back then they used to list the quantity, and it was up to 39,000 units of a pooping reindeer. So I said to myself, someday I'm going to go on QVC. So I went on QVC when we started to grow the business at Bath & Body Works, because I needed to tell the consumer, this ain't the shit you used to know. This is me now, and I brought my quality here. And we quickly became the number one home fragrance brand at QVC, and we had to put signs up in the store as seen or sold out on QVC, because whoever couldn't buy it or want to smell it in person would run to the store. And Abby, that's a long way of me answering you to say, I think what changed is, A, the quality in my reputation, which has lasted over these 28 years, which separates me out. But I became a storyteller. And that descriptive storytelling I do is so real, so honest about what it smells like, that it's able for the customer to really convey and understand what it is. Now, what I am doing now that's a bit different than I've done in the past, while I've spoken about it, I'm really speaking about the science of it, because there is scientific proof that scent can change your mood, scent can change your atmosphere. So I'm talking a bit more like that, because I think we all need that. So that's where I'm veering a little bit more than scent, but I'm still talking about it. But I really describe the scent well enough that I think someone can smell it through television.
That's amazing. Can you, and I'd love to actually dig deeper into, you know, your thoughts on like the neuroscience behind, like what is it about, and you know, the Columbia study, what is it about scents that does change your mood? Like, are there any like stats or anything that's interesting? to share?
There are stats, but you know, I never go by stats. Mm-hmm. You know, my wife are involved in a lot of science, which we can get into later because we started a foundation for mental health. But I really actually go from hearing the stats, but really going from my gut as well. And so for me, I've always said to a customer, while it's proven that lavender will relax you, it's why people sometimes will spray lavender mist on their pillows, or they'll use lavender in a candle to calm them, or you go into a spa and it's orange citrus or lemon, I always say, your nose knows what's going to calm you. So lavender doesn't calm me. It just doesn't. Well, it takes a lot to calm me. But the point is, I really, you know, let your nose know it. So if you're a gourmand person and that's going to calm you and you like to cook, okay, so my foodie sense, they're going to be a calming moment to you. And we all like to, if we're eaters, we all think that, you know, having that sugar donut is a calming moment, then scent and sugar donut is going to calm you. It's why I do a sugar donut scent. I really think it's your sensory interpretation of what mood you want to be in and what you react to. And while there is scientific data, like for instance, I don't know if you know it, but you know that old adage, when you cook through your, as a way to get to your loved one, you know, you make them happy. Did you know that pumpkin, the scent of pumpkin was proven to arouse men? So I just think it's what, and I don't, and you'd have to try that one out yourself, guys who are listening, but I just think it's what you respond to that's going to put you in the different mood. That's how I think.
Well, what's really interesting right now, Harry, is because we are all home and we're in that nesting phase. Scent is a very big part of my personal life, and it always has been, and it can really take you away. And I think there's so much more even now. I was, I felt like I wanted to be at the beach. So I was putting on Bobby Brown beach, you know, oils, and, you know, it really falls into every aspect of your home in your life. What would you say are the biggest areas right now in home fragrance? Is it candles? Is it, you know, what are you seeing now, and what are you seeing for the future? Because I'm sure that you have plenty of ideas on innovation and things to evolve the category with everyone probably being home more now than ever for a little while.
So I have to tell you, and I hear you on innovation, and remember, I created the largest home fragrance company in the world. So I certainly know this category, both from the luxury aspect and the prestige. The innovation really comes into the quality of it. So I would tell you that the Aries candles. Candles are the biggest in the industry of home fragrance. They will always be the biggest. My second biggest, and I grew the largest one, is my plug-in business. There I see the evolution going to be more technology for the plug-in. But at QVC, for instance, or the plug-in, even my wife's company, I mean, she sold out in 2 hours when she introduced her first plug-in at Nest. But the plug-in really, you know, it's just about the environment and how you layer in. So, for example, you want to fill up your home with scent. There's only really one way of doing it, and that's through a candle. And people, there are machines that can do it, but they're very expensive, and that's a big investment. And quite truthfully, I'm too attached to my consumer right now in my world to ask them to spend that kind of money when we're all sort of holding on to our extra money that we need. So for me, a candle is the easiest way in form, and that'll stay around for a long time. And then the plug-in, because the plug-in allows you to have scent 365 days a year, 24/7. So those are the two categories that will continue to grow in home fragrance.
You know, I'm thinking about the plug-in. So when you have a plug-in, and I'm just curious from your personal passion and your expertise, do you find that people in general will put a plug-in, different scents in different rooms? Like how do you go about that in terms of creating mood, environment in your sales presentation or in your stories that you tell? Because it's such an interesting thought, because I know I love to be, you know, one room may smell one way and people have different sensitivities or more inclined to lean towards vanilla, whereas someone else in a home may like a deeper scent. I don't know. That's just kind of an interesting topic.
That's okay. So Abby, the way I do it really is I believe in using more than one scent throughout your house. So, for example, if you have a plug-in in your kitchen, then that should know, all of my candles are essential oils. So as Abby, since you're in the industry, you know that when you don't really use a lot of synthetics in your product, then what ends up happening is they marry. They marry well. It's only when you start to get into icky synthetics that sort of boost fragrances that they start to actually become cloying and difficult to combine. So for me, I'm all about combining. So if you might have, right now while we're speaking, I have a scent in my living room, I have a scent in my front hall, I have a scent in my library, and I've got a scent in my kitchen going right now. So, and about an hour from now, I'll start one in my bedroom. So I believe, and they're all different scents. And so for me, I've said this to my customer from day one, and it's why my plugins, I mean, we're almost sold out right now with my plugins. So for me, it's really use which one is going to just make you feel better in the room, and then you can move them around. But the plugin itself is a unit you invest in, not expensive, but the refills allow you to play around with different scents. So like you just said, you put on your Bobbi Brown because you wanted to go to the ocean. Okay, so then you use my Pina Colada scent and it takes you right to the Caribbean. It feels like you've got a cocktail in hand, a cheap novel, and you're laying on the beach. It depends on the – then there's the, – you know, I've got one called Bonfire, Beach Bonfire, and that one will make you smell like it's chilly, a little chilly at night. You're around the bonfire. You can even smell the s'mores through it. So I think it's the mood that you want. But yes, combining scents is one of my biggest things. I've been talking about this forever. And I learned from Linda Wells, who's a dear friend, I'd say, what was it, about 25 years ago, when she was introducing layering fragrance on your body. I layer fragrance in my home. So just because I'm using a plug-in doesn't mean I won't then light up a candle to make it a bigger moment. I mean, it's layering throughout your house.
You know, Harry, kind of sticking to innovation, but moving more to, you know, the actual wax, you know, I've heard different things on, you know, the trend towards soy because it's better for you, beeswax. Like, what is actually the more sustainable choice, and like, what are the myths to kind of debunk?
Yeah, so here's the problem. Here's the problem with soy candles is they trap scent. So my job in my 28 years is to deliver a scent that will fill your home with scent. And that's why we won awards. That's why, you know, we have the business we have. I have one deliverable. I want to scent your house. I want your scent your house beautifully. I want a beautiful burning candle. I don't want an issue. I don't want it halfway down. It's not burning. I don't want to have one of your wicks goes out. So mine is about the creativity of the magic that happens in your home. And so for me, I have soy in my candle a little bit, but if I did all soy candles, it will trap the scent and you'll never get a full fragranced home. You just won't. And so, you know, for me, I have a proprietary, you know, mix that I'm not going to talk about on air because it's my personal, you know, combination. But, you know, I just wanted to say that for me, it's really about, you know, listen, if you want to have an all soy candle because it makes you happy, do it. I don't mind. I don't mind other people buy other people's products. I really don't. I want everyone happy. But I want to go back to something that both you and Abby have touched on. And Abby, when you ask me where the growth is going to come from in the home fragrance industry, it's the millennial. So I'm lucky enough, I mean, I'm lucky for many reasons to have my daughter who's 20 years old, but I see it from her and her friends and when they come over to the house. And I see what happens when they leave. So funny enough, in New York City, in the back of the kitchen, I have a candle room. And in that candle room, I've got stacks of shelves with all my candles. And when she's had friends over, I'll have noticed how many have left because they take them, they collect them. My daughter, even at college, all the kids are using a plug-in. They're not supposed to use a candle, but they still will. It's a huge thing. They love to collect the different scents. I mean, you must say that, Abby. You must see that also in personal care when you look at brands like Glossier and all. The popularity is coming from that group. And so for me, in home fragrance, I'm just astounded to see how much of a consumer and how much that consumer is becoming a fragrant user.
Mm. Harry, I'm coming over. Where's that room in your house?
Coming up, you'll hear from Harry on why fragrance really matters, especially now.
Hi, I'm Mark Rako, CEO of Mouth Media Network. All of us know that right now, more than ever, communication is so crucial to your leadership, to keeping your business in motion, to keeping people safe and delivering on promises. It can bring calm, it can inform and inspire, and it can offer hope. Getting urgent, crucial messaging to employees, strategic partners, and your consumer community matters. The tone and delivery of your message can make all the difference. The team at Mouth Media is standing with you. So we've put together a solution for this need, which can be deployed quickly and easily, and which we've designed to be very cost-effective in light of economics we're all facing now. Please reach out to me directly through LinkedIn, or you can email podcast@mouthmedianetwork.com, and I'll make sure that our team helps in any way we can. Thank you, and stay healthy and safe.
I love that you're referring to your daughter and how all of her friends, you know, are gravitating towards your secret stash, so to speak, in your home to see what you have. Can you share a little bit about what that generation is enjoying about home fragrance and what they're loving and what they're doing and how they're using it?
Yes. And so, Abby, probably you're aware of this being part of the industry, but I'm sure if you look at beauty and you look at fragrance, you understand that the millennials have really increased the anxiety level. I don't know if it's the fact that the schools have gotten more difficult. I don't know if it's that we all have phones in our hands, so we're actually, you know, our eyes are batting 400 miles an hour because we're taking into our brain too much. But mental health is the number one issue everywhere in the world. And in mental health, anxiety being the number one issue. And so because of that, I think the millennials are looking at ways of escape. I think they're looking at ways of calming down during that. So they're looking at scent not only because they love it, but for them, it's their aha moment to sort of light a candle. My daughter and her friends light a candle when they're doing homework. My daughter and her friends light a candle when they're having friends over. So for me, it's their way of, you know, really just calming down. I guess you'd look at it as, and I hate to use this, it just popped into my head, so I don't really want to use this, but I'm going to do it anyway because I never stop myself. I guess it's sort of the marijuana of today in the sense of that's where you're able to relax. Now, we know scientifically that scent goes to our brain. We smell before we do anything. When we walk in a room, it's the first sense that gets involved in what you're seeing or going through. So we smell. So we smell. It goes right to our brain. And by going to our brain, it then feeds our system. And our brain is very powerful. Our brain can go to our system by doing so many different things, by relaxing us, by getting us excited, by different emotions can apply. And by doing that, now I don't build my candles scientifically. I don't do that. I'm not saying I'm a scientific candle in any way. And all I do is I try and make sense that sort of appeal to that sensitivity. Then it's up to the customer to go in, whether it be my daughter or you, Abby, or you, Karen. It's up to you two to go in and say, you know what? That makes me feel by smelling it relaxed. Ooh, I'm gonna use that when I go take a shower because it smells spa-like and that's gonna be great for me. Or you know what, I'm entertaining and that scent makes me really feel like I'm in the mood for friends and party. It's that important. Scent is that important, not just in home fragrance, personal scent as well. Scent is that key. It applies right to our brain. So, you know, that's why I think the next growth is the millennial, because they're not only using it because it's a fun thing to use, they're using it because it really does work on them. It does allow them to, you know, change their atmosphere, change their mood, give them more creativity.
I absolutely agree with that, Harry. And I think that generation and even the younger generation is way more in touch with their feelings, with their on a much deeper level. So that makes everything more intense and more, they're much more aware than ever before.
Abby, not only are they more aware, but their buying prowess is much more aware. You can't fool them. So that generation, you cannot fool them. If the quality's not there, if what you say is not there, you can't push product on them. They have to find it themselves to really believe in it. It's a different consumer. But as long as you're putting out a great quality, you hope that they react to it. But being involved in mental health, because my wife and I started a foundation, we built a brain center with Columbia University and New York Cornell. We started the first charter school for mental health in the state of New York for autism. So we've done so many different things in mental health that it's given me the awareness of the issue. But in the millennial side of it, where we're seeing anxiety, depression, so many issues really come, again, it's the number one issue. This is a way of helping that without medication.
Mm-hmm. totally makes sense.
Well, that's very powerful.
I love that.
And you know, it's interesting, Harry. Sorry, I have another question in regards to that.
Course.
Are you working on a mental health note? Are you empowering health professionals with scent and aromatherapy in that vein? Because that's, you know, it's like that East meets West type of thing. But like, there's such opportunity and power in that alone.
There is. Like I mentioned, there's a doctor at Columbia University who uses scent to help cure illness. But I'm not doing that. I keep them very separate for that world. Our side of it has been mostly focused. My daughter's brother, it's a twin, has severe autism. And so when he was born, we had to figure out how to help him. And then figuring out how to help him, there were not any choices, really. All the schools in New York City had moved out of this New York City because of funding issues. There was really no place to take him. And we were lucky enough to have friends who could get us almost anywhere we wanted to. And even with that, it was a hard voyage. So the first thing my wife and I wanted to really do was to help the kids now. That's our advocacy. How do we help children now? So we started a charter school, the first one, there's now two, in New York City. And then from that, we really grew it into other areas where our latest one, like we built a brain center, but our latest one is building adult housing for children with special needs, all special needs. But going back to what you said about the scent, no, we've kept that separate because I don't want to, it's there for them. We've had conversations. I've had everyone from the Jim Watson, who's invented the genome, as you know. I've had all these amazing doctors in our house. The head of the CDC comes to our house. So all these wonderful people, we talk about it, but no, I haven't enforced anything on scent yet. I haven't, because I don't want to muddy the waters in my world and I don't want to make any claims that my candle is going to cure your illness. And I'm not making claims that it will actually take away your anxiety. I'm just making claims that for me, what I'm seeing from that consumer, having had a child who has anxiety, having, you know, had a son with severe autism, and seeing so many of the kids that have this now, and knowing that, and Abby, you just mentioned earlier, we are offline, we were talking about schools. You know, now almost every school has a person that if you're having anxiety or depression issues, you go to a person that's actually designated in that school for that issue. So I think that they're turning to alternative ways of being able to calm themselves in their environment. And I think they're doing it through scent. Also personal scent, not just candles.
Right. Yeah.
I'm the board of Henry Street Settlement, which is the oldest settlement house. It's in New York City. And it actually it's wonderful. It feeds the homeless. It has a place for unwed mothers. It has people who are actually addicted to drugs and the rehabilitation. So it's really a wonderful, wonderful place. And because I remember there was a program at Henry Street where it was underwritten by Ronald Perlman, who was Revlon. And it was, how do I do a beauty session and to make these people feel beautiful? So, you know, beauty obviously is in the eye of the beholder, but there are so many people that don't even feel they're beautiful and are afraid to look in a mirror, afraid to put on makeup. And his classes that he underwrote were to change that, to allow people to, young girls, to sit in front of a mirror and feel pretty for the first time. And that's what our industry is about. Our industry is about feeling better, taking us away. I don't care if it's 10 minutes in a day, just it's changing our lives. And we all need escapism now more than ever.
Yeah. So the other thing is, like, you know, in COVID, what's been interesting also is the rising trend of DIY and baking bread and things like that. I wonder, you know, like, are people making candles? Or
I hope not. I hope not. Okay. Actually, let me tell you why not. There is a whole process that goes into making a candle. So just as an example, every one of my candles takes about 6 to 9 months to produce. Those wicks that you see them, I don't mass produce the wicks that they go into every candle. The wicks are actually made and optimized to marry into the oils, to marry into my recipe of wax so that they all burn evenly down. Remember, when you burn my candle, you want a full melt pull at the top, but if it's too deep, it'll start to burn the oils underneath. So there's a lot of work that goes into this. And then on top of that, I have wick clips at the bottom that extinguish the candle. So if it burns too long, you know, it'll extinguish itself. So it's for hazard reasons. Can I tell you a funny story about Martha Stewart and going on her TV show to make a candle?
Sure.
Okay. So Martha is a very close friend of ours. We have neighbors in East Hampton and we've known each other forever. And she asked me to come on her TV show once to make a candle. When she did her show live and it was a full audience. And so right before the show, the producer came over to me and said to me, just so you know, if Martha gets stuck on something, it's up to you to move it. So the first thing I thought is this producer must be new because do you know Martha? Because I've known Martha and I'm a friend of hers. I don't think she's the kind of person you move along she doesn't want to be moved along. But sure enough, we got on camera and started off. It's all fun. And we got into the candle making and we got to a double boiler because we were showing how to make a candle at home. And a double boiler, which she calls a bain-marie, has water on the bottom that you heat up and you melt the wax in it. So we get to it and there's no water in the bain-marie. And there we are live when her show is millions of viewers and live audience. And she's stuck on this. She's saying, I want to know which producer put this out here. This is a dangerous moment. So you see me basically, when you look back on it, you saw me looking like a deer in headlights saying, oh, this is what they meant. So I go to her and I'm trying to push her. She's going back to it. She's like, this is really something that should not happen. Okay. So I move her along. I get her out of it. We get to the end. The producer comes at the end and says, thank you so much. That's what I meant. 3 months later, it's my wife's birthday, which is December 30th. We're on a friend's boat in St. Bart's and Martha comes on for the dinner and not happy birthday, not how are you, but can you believe there is no hot water in that bain-marie? That's why making your candles leave to the professionals.
Coming up, you'll hear how creating a candle for Elton John helped raise millions of dollars for charity and led to designing a candle to honor Princess Diana.
Makeup in Shanghai is the only B2B event in Shanghai with global makeup and skincare offers from ingredients, formulation, design, packaging, accessories, and full-service suppliers, along with workshops and conferences by top experts of the industry. The next edition, July 7th and 8th, 2020, at the Shanghai Exhibition Center. Whatever your project is, you can find the best contacts there. You can ask for a free badge on the website makeup-in-shanghai.com.
And now it's Hitting the Pan.
And we are back and we are going to hit the pan with Harry to decide who gets to ask the first question. We're going to take a spin at the salon chair and it lands on me. So
I think it's rigged.
It is.
Right, Abby? How did it land on her? Okay.
Totally rigged. I agree.
Had to be.
It really doesn't land on me, actually. Just trying to mix it up, you know?
Okay.
So Harry, you know, you've worked with luminaries like Martha Stewart, who you just mentioned, but you know, they're also strong personalities like Elton John, Oprah Winfrey, Madonna, even Princess Diana. I'm curious, like, how working on a creative process with them in a field that you're an expert, like, has that changed your creative process in other areas, non-home fragrance?
Listen, everyone's inspiration and Elton John, since you brought him up. So the reason how Elton John came about was we had a woman who was buying one of our candles. It was a gardenia scented candles in such huge quantities that we had a company meeting thinking of following her. We looked on eBay. We couldn't figure out where she was selling these candles. And one day she called me up and she said, I'm with the guy who I've been buying these candles for, and he'd like to come in to your, we had a little shop at the time. And he said, and see your candles, but you got to close your shop. And I never closed my shop. We had Oprah Winfrey. We had Mrs. Onassis. I mean, we had wonderful clientele and we never closed the shop. I mean, we didn't have a lot of people coming in. And she said, it's Elton John. And I said, okay, we'll close the shop because his spending habits are legendary. And he came in and he was there about 6 minutes and he bought $38,000 worth of my scented candles. And so just in case any listeners are listening, anyone who does that becomes an instant friend. We became great friends with Elton, and at his 50th birthday, he invited us, and Laura and I were more freaked out over what we were going to get him as a gift, because listen, you're up against Sharon Stone and Elton and Elizabeth Taylor. I mean, what are we going to give that we can't compete on that level? But he loves candles so much that in every house, he has a room that's temperature controlled just for his home fragrance. So we said, ooh, let's give him 24 candles. He can design the scent and it'll only be for him. And Elton called us up and he said to us, if you want to make this the best present I've gotten for my entire 50th, if you did this to benefit my foundation, and he was just starting the Elton John AIDS Foundation back in the days where it was still pioneering AIDS. He said it would be really amazing. And his foresight was genius because we were in Bergdorf and Neiman's and Saks. And to put that kind of candle in front of a customer that can make a difference philanthropically in AIDS is very serious. And that's what he wanted. He didn't care how much money we raised. That's what he wanted. But he went into how it happened is he literally went into his garden at his house outside of London, Woodside. And he literally has a white garden. He pulled all the flowers out. He handed it to Laura and I and said, I want it to smell like this. And we did the candle. We raised $7 million through that candle for his foundation. And just watching his honesty, watching his pureness, watching his sincerity, his it was just something that really is still inspiring to me today. So all the people that you've mentioned that I've had the privilege of meeting, I'm a candle monger. I'm from Montclair, New Jersey, and I'm very thrilled with all of the things I've had in my life. But I'm still, when we used to go to the Academy Awards, because Elton John did a dinner and he sort of likes you to come to the dinner, I was the one on the banquette just watching it all. I mean, the movie stars. So for me, I'm still at this 59 years old, still enthralled by the people I meet and learning from them and absorbing from them whatever I can. Because basically, I'm just a bastardization of all the people I've worked with and all the people I've worked for and taking the good, I hope the good, from them. But anyway, that was a long answer to your question, Karen.
Cool.
And I love that. I love that story. And I love that candle. I know, yes. I know it well. Love, 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 love. Actually, one of my favorites. And the other one that I love was the red candle. I think Laura did a red, right? Another Elton John candle?
Yeah, so we ended up doing five different scents for Elton John. So after we sold the company to Bath & Body Works, Elton went with Laura's side of the company, and she then Nest kept doing the Elton candles. So she did about five different scents for them. And we did wonderful things. And Princess Diana really happened because we used to sneak our candles into Kensington Palace. And so, and the reason we snuck them is because we were an American company and she was kind of an English icon. And they get ridiculed for that kind of stuff. But when she died, her sisters literally came to Laura and I and said, would you make her memorial candle? It would mean so much to us. And so we took the Princess Diana rose and did it in the candle. And then that went everywhere. That went everywhere.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to have a drink because I want to know how you snuck them into the
I can tell you that over a drink. I can't tell the person who snuck it in, but she was a royal as well.
Oh, I love it. All right, we're on. Once the world returns,
done.
Hopefully soon.
I can't wait. It'll be my happiness to do that, yes.
Thank you. So my question is a little bit more about Harry. Harry, yeah. I want to know what you're doing for yourself during this self-quarantine, during this time when we're all home, we're with our family, we're, you know, day by day trying to keep our spirits up and a positive outlook. How are you taking care of yourself? How are you grooming? Are you cutting your hair? Or are you letting it grow wild like all the men in my house? There are four of them. Give us a little inside scoop on Harry and what you're up to.
Sure. So I wake up every day. I shower, shave. I'm trying to keep myself as well groomed as possible just for my own being and feeling. That's really what I care about right now. So for me, I go for a walk every morning. That's how I start. I go down, I have my cup of coffee. I'm decaf. You guys don't want to see me on caffeine. I haven't done it for 30 years. And I do my decaf coffee and I go for my walk. I go for an hour walk. I'm in Florida. So luckily the weather has been amazing. And I go for an hour walk. And when I come back, I then record it. Now I started this off. The first thing I said to my entire group of my company was, on all our social media, I don't want to sell product. I don't want to put product out there. I don't want to look like I'm pushing product right now. We're all in this together and I want compassion from them to me and I want me to them. And so we started off really just chatting. And so my daily walk, which I put up every day, and I have for the last, since this all began, we've been in Florida now 9 weeks. So for 9 weeks, every day, I put one up unless I take a day off, which is once a week, I take a day off from walking. And I just talk real. And my real is, you know, I've struggled with my weight. I wake up in the morning, I want a diet. By the evening, I'm eating everything in sight, and the Milky Ways are calling me from other rooms. I mean, it's just, I'm the normal. My hair, I try to cut it myself with this sort of machine that I have in the house anyway. And it was a scary moment, I'll put it that way. And I nicked myself when I did it, and I ended up looking, you know, sort of, you know, like I had Annette Funicello's hair on one side. And I said, no more. It is what it is. That's just, if it grows, it grows. We're all looking like we're from the 70s and 80s right now anyway, so it's not like I stand out. So really just going through the normal emotions. Some days I wake up, I'm full energy. Some days I wake up, I'm not. But I try and do whatever I want to during this period. So I'm not really fighting myself. If I want to have mac and cheese, I'll have mac and cheese. You know, if I want to lay outside and not do any business for an hour, I lay outside and not do any business for an hour. I'm really feeding my soul and talking honestly to whoever wants to listen about it. And what that's done for me, Abby, it's been therapeutic. And I didn't realize it. You know, I'm not seeing my psychiatrist. I'm not doing anything like that. I'm just really using that as a way of my therapy. And their responses, because I get so many private messages on my Instagram from people who are listening to it, how much it meant to them, or, you know, asking me a question. And that's been sort of my therapy through this and getting me through it. I've got my family around me, luckily, so that's been great. But that's been really my highlight of these, this, my silver lining of all this is the love we're all sharing with each other. You know, we're all having the same emotions. There's good days, there's bad days, there's good mornings, there's good, bad afternoons. I mean, it's an up and down moment. And so we got to make the best we can. But anyone who tells you they've been great through this, anyone tells me their business hasn't been affected or their emotions haven't been affected, they're liars. We're all in this one together worldwide. This isn't one that just happened to a small group. And so, and it's scary. We have no idea what's going to happen to the future. There are people that are dying, and it's a scary moment. It's scary for me. It's scary for my wife. It's scary for our kids. And so really, you know, you just have to take it as it comes one day by day, by day by day. That's really what it is, day by day.
Thank you so much for sharing. I mean, I think it's a great way to kind of, you know, kind of close the conversation, because I think it's really inspiring. You know, you're right. Like, we, how can we all be more vulnerable and help each other? And, you know, there's nothing really to hide. So we,
and you know, Karen, and Karen, I want to say one thing, and Abby, this will apply. I listen to occasionally, I'll get on a thing that's the business side of the world kind of conversation. And luckily they've got me on mute. And it's one of those ones you can't, you know, contribute, because it really bothers me when people talk about the consumer, or talk about the person buying my candles, for example, as like another being, like this is how we should talk to them, or this is, no, they're them or me. Me or you.
Well, that's true. That you're totally right. And you know what? It's such an interesting point to make, because we are all one in this scenario. And when you look at the future, well, think about the future. We, as business owners and people doing things, need to think more along those lines. And that would be a gift. That would be a gift if everyone, especially the real, you know, the big, if everyone on a small level, big level, started to think that way, that would be a gift to society.
It would be the biggest gift to society, because we're all the same. It doesn't matter what economic level we're at. It doesn't matter where we live. We're all in this the same. We all have the same emotions, and we're going through them together. I just hate when people talk about them. It's us. We're all the same. And I'm not going to start talking differently because I have to refigure out my brain because them are going through a difficult thing. How am I going to talk about it? I'm going to talk about it the way I would talk to me or my daughter or my wife. I mean, that's how I'm going to talk to everybody else about it. It's how I'm talking to you guys. And I that irritates me when I hear people doing that. That's the only thing that bothers me. Usually I'm always half cup filled and I'm pretty, you know, positive guy. I just hate when people think people are dumb and they have to talk to them in dumb ways. And they're not. We're all the same.
Totally. I'm so with you. Thank you so much for sharing. What's the best way, Harry, that our listeners can get in touch with you?
Through social media, really, on Instagram. So I have three. So you can do it on Homeworks, my home fragrance, Scentworks, my home fragrance and body line, or my personal one under Harry Slatkin. And you can follow me, you can message me, whatever you'd like. That's the great, best way to do it. And I answer them all personally. There's no one answering them but me. And just so everyone understands, I always have a little twist to everything I do. Homeworks is HOMEWORX. Setworks is SEETWORX. And Harry Slatkin should be a given of how you spell my name.
Cool. Thank you so much again, Harry. This was awesome. Like, it was so cool to hear what you're doing, but also on giving back, and you know, what a great example. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, but Karen, I want to say the same thing back to you and Abby, and I want to say bravo for you. I think people want to hear from you more and more, and they want to know what's going on. They want to know what's going on from the different industries and how they're touching each other. But this is, Abby, as you and I spoke about just a minute ago, this is really where, you know, we're all talking the same language, and we've got to figure out to make sure that that language is corresponding and reaching to the to our friends.
Thank you, Harry. So couldn't agree more, and so appreciate your insight and your thoughtfulness.
Thank you, guys. It was fun. Thanks so much.
Thanks again, Harry. And thank you, Abby. And thanks to all the listeners for tuning in to another episode of Beauty is Your Business.
And Karen, remember one thing. Stay safe and stay scented.
Yes, stay safe and scented. And we are signing off. Hugs and kisses.
Bye, everyone.
This has been Beauty is Your Business, produced by Mouth Media Network, copyright 2019. Keep in touch on Instagram and Facebook at Mouth Media Network, and find prior episodes at beautyisyourbusiness.com and wherever the best podcasts are found. Your brand message can be on this show. Email us to find out more at podcast@mouthmedianetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
This is Mouth Media Network. Amplify and connect.